Time to do that. So if you'll go ahead and turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 21 through 34 today. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. We're going to continue on with part 13 of our sermon series as we've gone through the Gospel of Mark together. So today we're going to focus on verses 21 through 34. And last week we looked at the parable of the sower, or maybe another way to put it, the parable of the soils, as we looked at what each soil represent, a heart that is open or closed to the Lord. And today we're going to look at some more parables, okay? So let's read it together. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. He also said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." The kingdom of God is like this, he said. A man scatters seed out on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and it grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain of the head. And as soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, that when sown on the soil, it is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground. And when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the other garden plants and produces large branches so that the birds of the sky can even nest in its shade." He was speaking the word to them with many parables like these, and they were able to understand. He did not speak to them without parable. Privately, however, he explained everything to his own disciples. So we see here Jesus tells three more parables. We looked at the parable of the sower last week. He tells three more parables here that we're going to look at this morning that I think further illustrate what we began talking about last week. And the first parable is the parable of the lampstand, okay? So let's take a look at that. That's found there specifically in verses 21 through 25. Last week we talked about the parable of the sower. And if you recall, Jesus told that parable to the whole crowd, right? This whole crowd had come up and they'd gathered before Jesus, and there were so many people, he actually had to get on a boat on the edge of the shore. And he began to teach, and he told them the parable of the sower. So he told the whole crowd about the parable, but then the explanation of the parable he only told to his disciples, those 12 men that he had called to be his closest followers. He only explained the meaning of the parable to them. And the disciples' hearts, he understood, because Jesus is God. He sees our hearts, he understands, he knows. And the disciples' hearts were open. They were receptive to Jesus' words. And perhaps there were many in the crowd who were there, perhaps hundreds, I don't know, maybe even thousands of people that had shown up to hear, that were only there just because they had heard that there's this guy that does miracles and were interested in seeing what he does. And you know, Jesus had, the word got out, some things that he did. And so maybe they weren't really followers of Jesus, they were just there for a show. They thought maybe Jesus would do a miracle or something like that. And Jesus understood their hearts, and they understood that the disciples' hearts were open and receptive, but maybe there were some in the crowd whose hearts were too hardened at the time to understand what he was truly getting at. They just weren't open to the truth yet, and Jesus recognized this. Now, there are some people, we talked about this last week, and I just want to touch base on it again. There are some people who believe that Jesus deliberately withheld the truth from some of the people because they weren't supposed to believe, or they were never going to be capable of believing the truth of the gospel. And as we discussed last week, that's what Calvinism teaches. But Jesus knew that they would understand. They would understand at some point the truth of his teaching at another time. And so Jesus wasn't trying to hide the truth from some and reveal it to some. He wasn't trying to hide the truth from anyone. And this is where I believe the parable of the lampstand comes in. And I want to just explain this and help us to understand really what I think Jesus is trying to get at here. In ancient Israel, a lamp was a lighted wick in a clay bowl that was full of oil. There's nothing fancy about it. It wasn't like this fancy lamp that you and I see today. It was basically a bowl of oil with a wick in it. And they would light that wick was lit, and it would be a light that would be there for the house. And as you lit that lamp, Jesus said, you wouldn't put it under a basket. You wouldn't put it underneath the bed. Instead, the lamp was lit and was put on a lampstand in order to do what? Illuminate the room. That's what a lamp's purpose is. And so, in a sense, what I think Jesus is saying here, he says, listen, guys, I'm not deliberately trying to hide the truth from people, like putting it under a light, under a basket, or under the bed. I'm not deliberately trying to hide the truth from people. That would be like lighting a lamp and then putting it under a basket. That would be like lighting a lamp and putting it under a bed. He said, why, you know, in a sense he's saying, why would you even light the lamp at all if you're going to hide it or obscure it somehow? And so basically he's saying, if I'm hiding the truth, there's no reason for me to teach. And I think that's why he told this parable here. And so the parables of Jesus were not to conceal the truth, not to keep it from some and reveal it to some. The purpose of parables, and we kind of talked about this last week, was to reveal the truths of the kingdom of God. And he wanted all to understand the truths of the kingdom of God. Jesus used everyday items, he used everyday terminology to teach the truths of God's kingdom, not to obscure it, not to hide it, not to put it under a basket, but he wanted his truth to be known to everyone. But I think about the parable of the lampstand, it really kind of has a dual meaning as well. There's another meaning behind the parable, one that we often refer to more than the other, what I just talked about. Again, we looked at the parable of the sower last week. And in telling the parable of the lampstand along with the parable of the sower, I think Jesus wanted his disciples to understand what their mission was as well. Their mission, as we talked about the parable last week, would be to scatter the seeds of the gospel. And because they had been illuminated, because they understood the truth of Jesus and what he was trying to get at, because he recognized in their hearts that these men understand who I am and I want them to follow me and be my representatives, that would be their mission, to scatter the seeds. And because they had been illuminated with the truth, it would be their ministry to show that light in a sin-darkened world. He's telling him, this is the ministry that I have for you. I want you to illuminate. I want you to show your light, the light that has come into your hearts, into a sin-darkened world. And their witness was for Christ was to be seen by all. In other words, the benefit of knowing Jesus and receiving salvation was not to be kept to themselves. It was not to be put under a basket or under a bed. It was intended for all people. It was intended to shine in a sinful world today. And guys, listen, that message is for us today as well. We want to know how to apply this. It's not hard to understand that this is our mission too. The same is true for us today. So what is the purpose of a lamp? Well, the purpose of a lamp is to shine where there is darkness. And so we are to let our light show for all to see, and we must never hide our Christianity from those who are watching. And church, the way that we let our light show is by sowing the seeds of the gospel and making disciples. That's how we let our light show, the light of Jesus. We are to pay attention to his words, as he talked about there in verse 24, because as we pay attention and understand more the truths of Jesus and his word, our faith begins to grow. And guess what? As we grow, I think there's going to be more opportunities for us to share with others. And so the message here from Jesus is that if we are faithful in planting seeds, sowing the seeds like we talked about last week, and in showing his light, The reward will go beyond just a normal yield, as he talked about last week. Remember the yield that Jesus spoke of in the parable of the sower. He said that's good soil that where the word is implanted and it takes deep root and it changes the heart, of the person. You know, the soil represents a heart. He said he'll produce a crop that is a yield of 30, 60, and 100 fold. I mean, that was well beyond what was considered successful in that day, well beyond that. But he said that good soil, that good receptive heart, when that seed implants in his life, in the heart of his life, the offspring of that, the disciples that are going to be made, is 30, 60, and 100 fold. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at them, to his disciples and then to us here this morning. This week I was looking at Facebook and the North American Mission Board posted a question on Facebook, and they asked a question, what does a real evangelistic life look like? And they listed three rules here. They said, rule number one, a real evangelist opens their mouth. Okay, opens their mouth. A real evangelist doesn't just live a good example. They actually spend time talking with others about the gospel. Okay, we've all heard the quotes and stuff, let your light shine before men. That's all good, and Jesus talked about that. But letting our light shine is more than just behaving well in front of others and showing people that we're Christians. There's a lot of people in this world that are good. There are Satanists who can do good things. But what really transforms our lives is when we go beyond just showing, and showing is certainly a part of it, but also scattering and telling, and verbalizing. So a real evangelist opens their mouth, they talk about the gospel with others. Rule number two, a real evangelist starts with prayer. Man, that's so important. They say evangelism starts in private before it ever shows up in public. One of the things that we pray for when we gather together for a house of prayer on Wednesday nights is we pray for people specifically that God has laid upon our heart to share the gospel with. We pray that their hearts would be open. We pray that their eyes would be opened and that God would give us opportunities to share with them. Evangelism starts with prayer, praying for people's hearts to be open and receptive. And then rule number three, NAM says, North American Mission Board, a real evangelist lives on mission every day. A real evangelist looks at their job, their neighborhood, even the grocery store as a mission field. In other words, look for and sense opportunities that God gives you. These divine appointments, God opens the door for us. And we need to be ready to step in and share with others. So open your mouth, start with prayer, live on mission every day. That's our mission. Scatter the seeds, let our light shine, point people to Jesus. All right? The next parable, Jesus shares a couple of parables now with seeds in mind, again, with a seed being the example. First, he shares the parable of the growing seed in verses 26 through 29. You know, this parable, the growing seed, is only found here in Mark's gospel. But it's here that Jesus reminds us that we need to sow the seeds of the gospel. We've already talked about that. I want to talk about it a little bit more because it's important. And he uses this illustration. He talks about the fact that a seed grows is kind of a mystery. We don't really understand it. But just because a farmer may not know how a seed grows doesn't keep him from sowing and planting. He doesn't maybe know how it. He knows how to plant and do all that stuff, but he doesn't have the faintest idea of how it grows. And because he doesn't know how it grows doesn't prevent him from sowing and planting. He knows that it will grow. And Jesus said that whether a farmer sleeps or is awake, what does he say there? The seed will grow. The seed will grow. So basically, guys, what Jesus is telling us here is to sow the seeds of the gospel and leave the rest up to me. Right? You sow the seeds, that's your part. You leave the growing, you leave the results up to me. That's what Jesus is getting at here. And guys, you and I make all kinds of excuses as to why, I can't share the gospel. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. What if they ask difficult questions? You know, I'm not a people person. I'm anxious and don't interact around well with strangers. What if they think I'm weird? We come up with all these silly excuses. And to all these things, whatever excuses we bring up in our minds, whatever comes to our mind that Satan tries to cast doubt on, to all these things, Jesus says, just sow the seeds and leave the rest to me. Don't make excuses. Just do what I said. Sow the seeds. And I'll take care of the rest. In fact, what does Jesus promise here in the parable? He promises that there will be a harvest, right? That's what he said. But guys, the only way that we're going to see a harvest is by sowing the seed. If the farmer doesn't scatter the seed, you can pretty much be assured that there's not going to be any crop. But if we're faithful to sow the seeds, there will be a harvest. And that's what Jesus gets at there. And listen, you know, we may think of us as our witness, we may think that we're weak or our witness is weak somehow. It may seem like, you know, I'm not getting any results when I share with people, when I go out, when I pray for people, I'm not seeing any results. But the Word of God, guys, we have to understand, the Word of God is a powerful growth agent. I've shared this story before. A lot of you have heard of D.L. Moody. He was a great preacher, and God used him to lead millions of people to faith in Christ. But when he became a follower of Christ, he was working as a shoe salesman. And there was a guy that went to visit him one day with the purpose of sharing the gospel with him. And this guy was recalling this experience he had with D.L. Moody. He said, when I went in there, he said, and this is his words, it was a very weak appeal. Meaning, I did not do a very good job. I mean, it was, you know, kind of a train wreck. He said, but God used my words, and D.L. Moody came to a saving faith that day. And then D.L. Moody went on to do great things for the Lord. You may think that your witness is weak, you're not seeing results. But listen, the Word of God is powerful and a growth agent. And we need to keep our eyes on the great harvest that is going to come, not on the bad soil or the weeds that discourage us. Keep our eyes fixed on the harvest. Don't focus on the things that discourage us from faithfully sowing the seeds of the gospel. So the kingdom of God, or the parable, the growing seed, the next parable that Jesus talks about there, again with the illustration of a seed, is the parable of the mustard seed. And the parable of the mustard seed illustrates this further. You know, a mustard seed is not the smallest seed known to man, but for Jesus and his followers at that time, it was the smallest seed that they were familiar with. And it is small. And so Jesus continues his theme here from the previous parable that there's power in the seed. There's power in the Word of God. A mustard seed was as small as a grain of sand. Yet it could produce a plant that grew up to 15 feet high. Something that as small as a grain of sand can grow a plant up to 15 feet high with branches that spread out so far that birds could nest in them. So why did Jesus tell this to his disciples? What is he getting at here? Well, I think basically, and kind of along the same line as what he told about in the other parable, I think he was trying to encourage his followers. Specifically his disciples here, but us today, he was trying to encourage them. Now think about this for a minute. The disciples, these 12, these guys have spent quite a bit of time traveling with Jesus and hearing him teach, right? And what was his message? His message was about the kingdom of God, that he'd come to seek and save the lost, pointing people to God through his life and through his teaching. And even though they had spent quite a lot of time and a lot of energy following him and listening and doing his ministry and carrying out his orders, even though they'd spent a lot of time and energy doing this, Jesus' following was still relatively small here. He didn't have a lot of true followers of Christ. He'd been preaching and teaching to thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but there was only a small group, a handful of people that were truly following him. And I think what Jesus is getting at here is to his disciples, he was telling them, just wait and see what happens. Just wait and see what happens. I'm going to use you, faithful men of God, and God is going to use you to grow his kingdom. The ministry that I began will continue through you, and it will grow unfathomably big. I think that's what he's telling the disciples there. And guys, let me just say, because of the faithfulness of the disciples then, let me just say, that's why we're here today. That's why we're here today. It was through the faithfulness of Jesus' disciples to sow the seeds of the gospel. And listen, these guys were just ordinary, unschooled men. There was nothing spectacular or great about them in the world's eyes. They were just ordinary guys. But God doesn't seek out the most popular or the most influential in the world's eyes. I want you to listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. And let's see if this might describe you. He said, brothers, and because I know it describes me. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful. Not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish to the world, in the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. Man, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. God can use the nobodies in society. The people that think I am the least and I am the most insignificant person you could think of, God wants to use you. In fact, that's who he desires to use. Because people like that, that don't think too highly of themselves, they don't think they hung the moon, they don't think they're all that, the people that are humble, those are the people that God wants to use. And so Jesus started with his disciples. And guess what, guys? The kingdom continues to grow through us. Jesus used this parable to explain that even though Christianity had a small beginning, it would grow into a community of believers around the world. And one day we know that that promise will come true because Revelation 7:9 talks about how every tongue and tribe and nation, every person, every type of people from around the world will be gathered before the throne room of God, praising him for all eternity. The realm of Christianity will reach around the world. A lot of you may or may not know that my Papa Boyd, my dad's dad, was an independent Baptist preacher. And he didn't become a preacher until later in life. He did a lot of different jobs, and he surrendered to the ministry later, and he didn't have any schooling. He didn't go to school. I mean, I could say a lot of things. He just, you know, in the world's eyes, he wasn't the brightest. And the churches that he pastored was all bivocational, small churches. He had to work other jobs in order to provide for his family. Small crowds, not a lot of money in the bank. And that was just pretty much his ministry. And even after he retired, and he would go and preach, for other guys, you know, supply preaching. And when I was in high school, I would take him around, drive him in my 67 Mustang to these remote locations that I had no idea even existed. They were out in the country, and I would drive him out there. And I'm telling you, there would be literally five or six people that he'd be preaching to. But when he would preach, it would be like he was preaching to thousands. It didn't matter. But you know who was listening to those sermons? I was. I was listening. Because my Pawpaw Boyd was faithful to preach the truths of God's word and to preach the gospel, seed was planted in me. And God called me into ministry and continued to grow his kingdom through me. So the kingdom of God is growing. Even though he may not have seen the results then, God used him to grow the kingdom. And God is using you to grow his kingdom. You know, that story is about me, but you have a story. You have somebody that poured into your life, a teacher, your mom or dad, a VBS worker, somebody that poured into your life and you became a follower of Christ. And even though maybe those people have gone away and passed away, their ministry continues through you. And the kingdom of God continued to grow through you. And as you pour into your children and other people, guess what? The kingdom of God will continue to grow. And that's what God, that's what Jesus is getting at here. So listen, guys, let me just say, don't be discouraged. Don't be intimidated, even if your efforts seem really small. Just be faithful and know that God is building his kingdom. Our job is just to sow the seeds. It's God's job to bring the increase. And he will. He promises he will. Be faithful and know that God is building his kingdom. So what have we learned this morning? Well, we've learned three things. Sow, show, and grow. Let your light, show your light. Sow the seeds of the gospel and watch God's kingdom grow. It's as easy as that. Show your light, sow the seeds of the gospel, and watch God's kingdom grow. But the question is, do you need to make a commitment or maybe a recommitment to show and to sow this morning? Maybe God is calling you in some capacity in that way to make a further commitment in your life. Maybe you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior for the very first time. Maybe you say, well, I can't really shine or show my light because I don't have a light. The light of Jesus doesn't live in me. I'm not his follower. I don't know him. How can I know him? Well, let me just share with you how you can know him. If you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus, here's what you need to do. The first thing is just realize that you're a sinner. There's sin in your life. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us in here is a sinful person. We have sin in our life. And the first step to becoming a follower of Christ is just to admit it. I'm a sinner. And there's nothing that I can do about it. And then we need to go further than that. We need to ask forgiveness of our sin and turn away from it. That means that we don't want to live that way anymore. We don't want to live like that. We're going to turn away from that. And we have to believe in what Jesus did for us. What did he do? This is the gospel. He came down from heaven. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross and died for our sins. He died. He was buried. But he came back to life. And he rose victoriously over sin and death and hell. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel. We have to believe in what Jesus has done for us. And then we need to make a commitment. We need to commit our life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's twofold there. We make him our Savior and say, I want you to be my Savior and forgive me of my sins, but I also am going to make you the Lord of my life from now on. I'm going to make you my boss. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. So maybe this morning you need to make that commitment. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Andrew's going to come and lead us in a hymn of commitment. And we do this so that God can speak into our hearts and we can respond in faith. I'll be here at the front, right down here at the front. If you want to come talk to me about what it means to be a follower of Christ, I'd love to share that with you. But you know what? As we say every week, you can make that commitment right where you are, right where you're standing. You can pray a simple prayer of faith and commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Maybe there's another decision that you need to make. You can come pray with me. We can talk about it sometime this week. But here's the thing. If you make a decision and you don't come up here and let me know, let us know by filling out the Connect card in front of you, or going online and clicking the Connect link on our website and filling out that information. We want to know how we can come alongside of you and help you in your spiritual journey. And if you don't tell somebody, we're not going to know, because we're not mind readers here. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit, but we can't read people's minds. And so let us know how we can come alongside of you, all right? All right, let's pray, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit work. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've heard these parables. We've heard your message. And Lord, now it's time to respond. And I pray that you would work in our hearts right now. Open our eyes and our hearts to what decision we need to make. And Father, give us the courage to make it. Give us the courage to talk to somebody if need be. Lord, we open ourselves up to you right now, and we ask you to have your way in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.